Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, a nigga back again. To my fans with handling. Straight out of Atlanta, but I'm proud to be African. Let's blow another pack again. Blow another rack again. Till I call a friend and I'll blow out another pack again. Ask her where she heading to. Told her that I'm following. I say I'm Liberian. She say she's Somalian. Then we started partying. Convince her that we staying in. One time for the Nigerians. Shout out to Wale and them. And that nigga OC too. Watch how you approach me, dude. Reppin' for my heritage. That's what I'm supposed to do. Tell them who the real is do. Ask them who the ill is do. Murder any beat I get. Blackout like a villain do. And I'm here to soda block. Send them here, I hear my run. Eat them seasons, spit them out. You just made the menu blow. That means you're a corner black. Get us and we're bombing back. Wait a second, make some noise. Where the fuck is Ghana at? Come on, throw them hands up. Let me hear you say it loud. This one's for my Africans. Let them know we black and proud. Wait until my shit blow up. Let me see those fists go up. They held us down for long enough. Let me see you lift us up. Never check a dude, show you what respect a do. Throw whack rappers in a bowl, eat them like they're pepper soup. Better get their fufu gone, that means that they super soft. I see you, your top is down, you see me, my roof is off. Yeah, I know your love and style, and I know it's been a while. Shout out to my nigga Boo, and Akon Bay from Senegal. Nigga, get it right, there's a line that you don't cross. You a weakling, listen, peeking, now you fucking with a boss. To all of my South Africans, shout out to Johannesburg. The World Cup ain't gonna save the world. Get away and pass the word. I'm hoping that I'm reaching them. I ain't trying to preach to them. All the Ethiopians. Shout out to Eritreans. Shout out to Angola, dog. All of my Zairians. Bonzo to the corporate bar. Let them know I'm hearing them. Now I know they're fearing it. They make it so you hate yourself. Learn about your heritage. You're what you create yourself. Come on, throw them hands up. Let me hear you say it loud. This one's for my Africans. Let them know we black and proud. Wait until my shit blow up. Let me see those. Let's go up, they held us down for long enough. Let me see you lift us up.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D, and I have another very exciting show tonight. I am very thankful to have my guest. His name is Terrence Dean, and Terrence Dean has a book out called Hiding in Hip-Hop, and Straight from Your Gay Best Friend. He is from the entertainment business. He's also from Detroit, and I am very excited to have him on tonight. And I'm going to pull him up. Terrence?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I heard that you're from the Big D, Detroit.
Yes, grew up on the northwest side off of 6 Mile in Illinois.
Oh, you're in my area. Okay.
Yes,
Before we get into your books here, can you kind of give the people some information about Terrence Dean?
Well, as you said, you know, I'm from Detroit originally, and I worked in the entertainment industry for over 15 years. You know, such people as like Spike Lee, Rob Reiner, Angelica Houston. I worked at MTV for over 7 years as well. Coming from Detroit, you know, that was a dream of mine as an inner city kid. Just had this dream of wanting to work in the entertainment industry. So I was very fortunate and blessed to go away to college at Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. And after college, I was afforded the opportunity to get an internship at CNN in Washington, D.C. So thus, my career started in the entertainment industry.
Great. Now, also, I heard some conversation while I was looking on, I think I looked at one of your auditions here or videos on YouTube, and you were talking about what happened to you in your life when you were 13.
Yes, well, in the book In Hiding in Hip Hop, I talk about, you know, for people who don't know that book, it's Hiding in Hip Hop on the Down Low, in the entertainment industry from music to Hollywood. And it's actually a memoir of my life, me working in the entertainment industry. And, you know, part of that struggle was growing up in the inner city, like I said, of Detroit, and having this dream and to wanted to be in the entertainment industry and just wanted to, you know that I wanted to do something with my life. But when you grow up in a, you know, dysfunctional family, challenges and obstacles are always on your path and your journey. So for me, when I was 13, in the book, I talk about when I was sexually assaulted by a male next door neighbor. So for me, you know, it traumatized me because, you know, at 13, you're trying to figure out your own sexuality, your own sexual identity, but just to be sexually assaulted by someone, a man, really, really, you know, put me in a space where I didn't think I'd had anyone to talk to, anyone I can go to talk about what happened to me. So thus, you know, the challenge and struggles began of me trying to figure out who I was and why this man did this to me. And so my book, In Hiding in Hip Hop, I talk about that whole journey of coming into my own self during that because of that catalyst of that traumatic experience.
And because of your journey into the entertainment business, now in your book, Hiding in Hip Hop, you were in that arena there. And so you, in your book, you don't name names, but you're just telling about the experience and the things that you see. And so it's a lot of down low men's in that industry. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I talk about it's a subculture, you know, I actually call it, you know, for those who are not privy or a part of the entertainment industry, you know, it may not be aware or conscious that it does exist, but those of us who work in the entertainment industry and those who are part of it are very familiar with men and women who, you know, on the outside appearances may lead a heterosexual lifestyle, but behind closed doors and, you know, close friends and probably a few family members may know that they actually have relationships with same-sex relations with, you know, men with men and women with women.
Now, why do you think that it seems to me that that industry has a lot of gay, the entertainment industry, period, Hollywood, the music industry, why do you think that a lot of gay individuals gravitate to that industry?
That's a good question. You know, I think the entertainment industry is in a whole of itself is an industry that, you know, is very nurturing of the arts. You know, most people who are very into, you know, the arts and self-expression tend to gravitate more to the entertainment industry because it's, you know, it's a very artistic way to express and be who you are. But also you get to not be who you are. You get to create an illusion. And that's what Hollywood, and I talk about that in Hiding in Hip Hop, Hollywood is all about illusions. So, you know, it's the perfect place to hide. You know, your actor, you get to play and depict many different people as opposed to yourself. You know, rappers create pseudonyms. That's why they have, you know, Lil Kim is Queen Bee, but her real name is Kimberly Jones. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean Carter is Jay-Z. You know, these people have these crazy alter egos, the people who, you know, I guess that will appeal to the masses that will sell. But when you get to know the people, the individual person, you realize they're not who they portray themselves to be as a caricature. Even like Nicki Minaj, you know, like all these new artists and all these artists that come onto the scene. So, but it's a, like I said, it's a great way and a creative expression. And I think a lot of people who are into their sexual identity and expression can tap into that side of themselves and express themselves.
Do you think that a person that is quote unquote straight Do you think it would be kind of difficult for them to get into that industry, or once they in the industry, can they stay straight?
Well, there are a lot of heterosexuals who are a part of the entertainment industry, but I think you have to be very cognitive and aware that the industry does have a lot of gay people in it. So you cannot be a part of this industry and be homophobic. I'll say that.
Right. Okay.
Especially if you want to work and continue working. So it'll behoove you to not be homophobic. I mean, if you know that, like, you know, you never hear many artists or many people will express their concerns about sexual identity. I mean, look what happened to Isaiah Washington on Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the black man who talked about, you know, how he said he outed the other co-star.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you saw what happened to him, the backlash that he received, and where is his career now? You know, so.
Right.
Even Eminem, who's from Detroit, when he made his homophobic remarks, and then next thing you know, he's performing at the Grammys with Elton John. Like, you have to salvage your career. Like, it's career suicide to think that you're going to come in this industry and think that you would never, ever come across someone who's homosexual and feel as if that you can still be homophobic in this entertainment business. It's very unlikely, and your career won't sustain. But people will make passes at you. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of men who are heterosexual can tell you, you know, there have been many instances they probably have been, you know, men have been approached them in a sexual manner. I mean, that's just the nature of this business. So, but I think that's any business. It's very, you know, there's sexual harassment everywhere you go. But in the entertainment thing, in the entertainment industry, I think it's extremely prevalent.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the difference between, I hear them talking about a person that's on the down low and a person that's in the closet. What's the difference, you know?
Well, yeah, in my book, Hiding in Hip Hop, I break that down. You know, a man who's on the down low is actually a man who has sexual relationships with men and women. He may have a girlfriend. He may have a wife. But unbeknownst to the woman, she doesn't know that he's involved with other men. So that's why it's called down low, because he's creeping and he's doing something on the side that he should not be doing. So he's having sexual relationships. And they're very, you know, they're not long-term relationships. They're just sexual, casual relationships with other men.
Mm-hmm.
So a man who's in a closet is a man who has identified his sexuality. He knows that he's gay. However, he doesn't want to come out to his friends or family because of the backlash he fears that he may receive. So thus he stays in the closet. So he knows he's not interested in being with women, and he doesn't sleep with women. And he's not in any intimate relationships with women. But, you know, he'll continue, you know, he'll have a relationship with a man, but it won't be publicly known that he's out or publicly known that he's dating another man.
Okay. And I have had women tell me that, well, you know, I had a person talking about a certain guy, and she was saying, well, he's not gay, he's just bisexual. I mean, when I was coming up, if you crossed that line, you was gay. I mean, has it changed now? I know things change. The times change.
Well, I think, you know, I think because that's now that bisexuality is something that's never really talked about. I mean, there are men and women who are bisexual. That is the actual, you know, people who do, you know, are happy being with both sexes, and they're openly known to know. They let their partners know. See, a down low man would never tell a woman he's having intimate relationships with another man because he's trying to keep it a secret, and he thinks it's like a phase, or he thinks, you know, because he doesn't identify with being gay. A bisexual man identifies with his sexuality as well as a bisexual woman. So, you know, they'll tell their partners, hey, you know, I just want you to know I do have sex with men and I have sex with women. I'm attracted to both sexes. And there are lots of people who find those relationships and are intimate in those relationships and don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Down low man is more about deception. It's about deceiving what down low man does.
Okay. Now that's what I kind of thought when I first, like when your book first came out and it was getting out about all these gay rappers, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, maybe a lot of these men and women, they like to go both ways. So, you know, that's why I was kind of confused. I'm from the old school, so, you know, I just figure they just having fun, just going on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, but I think a down low man, he doesn't identify and he doesn't see himself as someone who's gay. He doesn't think that what he's doing is of a gay nature. Because down low man, because the sexual act that's involved and the sexual act is the determining factor for a lot of men. So a down low man will look at it as such that if I am the top or the aggressor in this relationship, I can't be gay because I'm not on the receiving end. You're the man who's receiving, so you must be the gay one. I'm not. So in his head, he's, you know, psychoanalyzed himself to feel as if the behavior he's involved in does not make him gay. Because only gay men, because a down low man will only think only gay men are into receiving and all this other stuff and all that sexual perversion that they think comes along with it. And so a down low man won't participate in all those acts. He'll just be like the top and the giver.
Well, without getting drafted, what about if a down low man, what about if another person just want to do oral? You know, will he receive that or he doesn't have anything
to do
with that?
Yeah, that's the same thing. He'll receive oral,
but
he
won't
give perform.
It.
Right.
I got you. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, what about, I've heard the term homo thug. What is that?
Yeah, those are the type of guys that you normally would see, you know, in your neighborhood, like the street corner guy with the baggy jeans. You know, they look like the average, typical, you know, urban thug with the tattoos, the hat to the back. But, you know, they're men who have sex with other men. They just dress the part, you know. So,
and maybe
like
a lot of
men.
That, maybe a lot of that come out of when guys, a lot of their guys go to prison, and you know they get into those activities.
Well, there's this term in prison that it's called gay for stay, and I think a lot of women don't know about that, and I think a lot of women should know that a lot of men, especially men who have long-term prison sentences, tend to engage in sexual behavior with other men because it's normal in the prison setting. It's accepted in prison.
Okay.
So, but when they leave prison, they won't engage in that behavior. Some of them won't. And because they feel as if, well, I'm back in my community, in my environment where I don't have to have sex with another man. So they call it gay for stay.
So a person can pretty much turn it on and turn it off if they want to, because you know, it's to me. I've heard, you know, different people say that they were molested and that kind of played a part in them wrestling with their sexuality. But then you got these guys that go to prison and they engage in sex there, and then they can come back to the community and just turn it totally off.
Right. And you got to think in prison, this is the thing, too. In prison, you can't use condoms. Are considered contraband in prison. So those men are having sex in prison without condoms. Because, you know, condoms is considered contraband. So they don't, and plus they don't want to condone it. The prison, you know, the warden is like, well, if I give condoms to the prisoners, that means I'm condoning the sex.
Okay.
So as opposed to giving them condoms to protect themselves, they won't give them condoms at all, which makes no sense.
Right, and you know this is going on.
Right.
You know, so wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And also in Hollywood, I think that was Dave Chappelle did an interview, and he was talking about how that they always want to make the guy put a dress on, some kind of ritual or something. Do you have like that in the music industry where you got to kind of go through something or they, you know, it's like he was saying that in the movie industry, they're going to come at you where they're going to give you a part where they want you to put this dress on. So is it something in the music industry where they say, well, you're going to have to do this or say this and, you know, you in or something like that?
No, but I mean, I think in the industry, I mean, I think when I saw him on Oprah when he was discussing that, I mean, he was saying how, you know, to emasculate black men, you know, a lot of them tend to, in their movie roles, put on dresses to play the mammy type of character, emasculating the black man. In the music industry, no, but I do know, like, the music industry is about selling. I think people should know the entertainment industry, period, is about business. It's about making money. It's a business. So as much as you want to be creative and artistic, that's great. But once you sign a contract to a record label, they own you. And anything creatively or artistically that you may want to do, you have to go to your record label to get approval to do it. Because they can shelve your album and you'll never do an album. You can never do a single. I mean, they'll do so many things that make it impossible for you not even to work in this business because, again, it is a business. And you are a brand for them. So a lot of things you can and cannot do. So, you know, if you look at a lot of artists, well, that's why a lot of them tend to not stray away from the type of music and type of things that they tend to put out. I remember, like, Brandy, for instance, when she was a recording artist at Atlantic Records. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if people remember, but remember she used to wear braids all the time?
Yes.
It was in her contract. She could not take those braids out of her head because that was part of her image. So that's why she had those braids for all those years, because it was a part of her image. And the record label was like, you cannot change your image. And that's what the record label does. They say you can't dramatically change your style, your image, and your look, because they're making money off of who you are as the artist and the brand that they're creating are behind you.
Wow. So you can be creative, but it's up to them to say, which way? So they're driving the car, basically.
Exactly.
You know? Okay. Oh, wow.
Right.
That's something. Now, in your book, Hiding in Hip Hop, you wouldn't name names, but you give hints out so people could know who was on the down low and who was not. But it seems like since your book have came out that the people in the industry, it's more obvious now. You know, you got Lil Wayne kissing the Birdman on TV, and, you know, it seems like they're not trying to hide it so much now.
Well, I mean, they're still hiding it. I think what has happened is, I think there's a slowly introduction of it because, you know, unlike our white counterparts and our white colleagues who come out and openly are accepted, I mean, you look at, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres, a Lance Bass, a Elton John, a George Michael. Like, the list goes on and on for white celebrities and artists who come out and they embrace. You know, Hollywood's embraced them. Their careers continue to flourish and nobody cares. But a black artist is very difficult and challenging because of the taboo, the, you know, the issues that are with, that comes along with this in the black community. The black church, which plays a huge part of a lot of people's experiences and them preventing them from coming out. So, you know, it's very challenging and difficult for a black artist, but I think slowly it will happen, and it will happen soon. Like, I mean, Wanda Sykes has come out, you know, I think others will definitely follow her lead and do so, but it's going to be a very slow process.
Okay. Now, also, it kind of looked like some of the artists in hip-hop is kind of going towards the occult, like Jay-Z. That doesn't have any – is that two separate things? Does that have anything to do with the – because a lot of time when you're in those occults, it's got a lot of sexual things going on too.
I don't think those artists are part of an occult, and I find it hysterical that people have really blown it out way out of proportion, calling it this Illuminati, and these artists are part of Illuminati. And I'm like, you do realize like the Illuminati are people who make billions of dollars, like they're not common people, and I don't think there are any black people who are part of the Illuminati. The Illuminati are people that they say like the actual 10% of the people who actually run the world.
Right.
So I think these artists, I think, have taken the flak because of some symbolisms and some of the, you know, people have really just, it's almost like when Prince, you know, had come out, when I remember when I was a young boy and Prince had come out with his album, and they were saying, oh my God, if you play Prince's record backwards, he's talking about the devil and sexual promiscuity and all those other things. And I'm like, really? Like, but it sold lots of records for him, and it made Prince an icon. I think that's what happened to Jay-Z, Kanye West, Beyonce, and all these other artists. You know, they're benefiting from that same platform that helped propel artists like, you know, even like rock stars, like Van Halen and all those other people. They said, if you play the albums, records backwards, they're worshiping God, and they sold souls to the devil. And I think Jay-Z and them, like, you know what? If you guys want to say that, we'll play on it. And people continue to talk about it, and they're continuously selling records.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also have another book called Straight From Your Gay Best Friend.
Yes.
And in that book, you talk to females, and you kind of let them know if their partner is on the down low.
Well, the book also talks about, you know, it's a relationship, talks about relationships, life, family, career, you know, just all over life advice, you know, reminding women who they are, because I think women have forgotten. You know, it's not a book like Steve Harvey's book or any other those type of books where I'm telling women, you know, think like a man. It's like, no, I want you to think like a woman, be fabulous, be your diva self, but don't forget your spiritual balance, incorporate that into who you are, remember who you are. And not give in to the social pressures and the dynamics of I have to be in a relationship or, you know, getting into a relationship with a man and feeling as if you lose yourself. So many women lose themselves in relationships. So that's what the book is about, just helping women to remind them who they are and the power that they possess.
Okay. And do you give them, like, pointers, you know, say for, like, a woman, do you give them little signs or little things to look for to know if their partner is on the down low or if their partner is, if they're gay, they wouldn't be going with them at all. If they're bisexual on the down low.
Yeah, that's the last chapter of the book. I mean, it's 19 chapters and that's the 19th chapter. And there are signs, you know, I think that women, there are signs just like any woman would know any signs if their man is cheating, you know, in a heterosexual relationship. I think it's very difficult for women to say. I think it's naive for anybody to say, oh, you know, how can I tell if my man is on the down low? Because I get that question. People always want to ask me, is there a sign? Is there a code? Is there a look? Is there a color? I'm like, really? Like, you think we're that?
But we're
that organized to say, hey, we're going to come up with a handshake and a color and, you know, to identify each other.
But, you know, it's a lot of women out there that is very naive. And, I mean, it could be, like, in their face and they still won't see it.
Right.
And I believe a lot of it is because they don't want to see it. You know, but you have a lot.
I don't think they're naive. I think they're in denial. That's
okay. Yeah, yeah. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, I have some people on the line, and I'm going to open the line up so they can ask you some questions.
Okay.
Okay. Area code 734. Area code 734.
It's me. Hello.
Okay. Yes,
Hi.
We can hear you.
How are you?
You have
Mr.
a question
Dean?
For Terrence Dean?
Yes, I do. I read your book a couple of years ago, and I was very impressed with what you said about your book.
Oh, thank you.
I also was impressed about how you talked about your best friend that died of AIDS. You didn't even know he was sick until you called, and that was I know that was very heartbreaking to you also. And also, I know you went to Fisk University. You also talked about the HBCU college, which I'm glad you did because that gives a lot of kids in the area to I'm from Detroit, opportunity to go to HBCU college because my son is at one right now, Wilberforce.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, Ohio.
He's in Ohio. But my question to you is, what about all this secret society thing that's going on with the hip-hop thing and all this thing? You talk about Nicki Minaj, you know, she says she's a bisexual woman, the next minute she's not, she's married. Then you got Rihanna talking about she's bisexual, then talking about she's not. What is going on with this type of thing? What's going on with this? This is like a gimmick, like you said, about the Hollywood and the industry. What is going on?
Yeah. Again, you know, because you know, I think the public is generally, you know, they play on the naivete of the general public, because again, it's all about selling records. It's a business. Everything has to sell. There's no secret society in the entertainment industry. Trust me. It's no artists, and I don't think there are a group of artists who are going around saying we're going to create this club, and you have to do these certain signs and symbols and go through these rituals to be a part of what we're doing. No, it's not that organized. A lot of artists, and it's interesting because a lot of people think that these artists know each other, like they're all best friends, and they don't. They don't hang out together. Yeah. They only see each other at an award show and it's in passing. Exactly. So they don't really know each other. You know, like you said, just like you live in Detroit, someone lives in New York, someone lives in Chicago, someone lives in Texas, wherever. So these artists are not hanging out with each other and like they're the best of friends. But, okay. You know, I think with sales like Nicki Minaj, like you said, you know, her, Rihanna, and all these other artists, because, you know, it's what's hot, it's what's trendy right now to say it, it's popular, it causes controversy. I mean, think about it. We're having a conversation about them. We're talking about them. You pick up a People magazine, you pick up a USA Today, anything, New York Times, any newspaper, any tabloid magazine, because we're talking about them, it generates sales, it generates business,
exactly.
It generates money. So
exactly.
As long as they can keep, you know, the publicity machine can keep their names out there and keep them people talking about them, keep them all over the internet and all over the blogs talking about them, it translates into sales, into money for them.
Yeah, and also I seen an article about Steve Harvey's ex-wife. She put him on blast. She's got to talk about his book. Now she got him on blast. You know, it's like it's gonna be like a battle thing going on. He said the devil, another level with the devil. He's talking about his ex-wife. You know, it's a lot of stuff gonna be coming out of that also.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. You really have to pay attention. And, you know the background. And I feel for her because I truly do. I watched that video and I felt for her.
Me too.
Like she's in a lot of pain. But also
right.
I'm thinking to myself like. His book came out 2 years ago, and
right.
You're just now speaking out and saying something. Like, so you have to look at both ends of the spectrum. Look at his, you know, look at what she's saying about him, look at what he's saying about her. Because, like, why would you say, I mean, how can you live in a bubble in America and say you did not even know he had a book out? I found
on,
that hard to believe
on.
When she first said that. Because I was like, really, you didn't know he had a book out?
I believe she's like, she had a breakdown. That's what she looked to me. She might have had a breakdown because he got full custody of his son.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you have to wait until everything, all the information comes out, you know,
exactly.
Before you make any type of judgment. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you,
caller.
Thank you.
Let's see, we're going to go to area code 313-345. Area code 313-345.
Hello?
Can you hear us? We hear you. Do you have a question or comment for Terrence D?
Just a comment.
Okay.
The first one, for the love of money. The third one is, there are many ways to be a slave. The second one, rather. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Okay, we're going to go to area code 248-910. 248-910.
Good evening. I'm really enjoying this talk today, and I didn't know anything about the books, but they sound really interesting, so I will get both of them. My question is,
you.
I have heard, I love it. I have heard of the casting couch in the, when you're an actor or actress, does that exist in the world too?
It really does exist.
And
I talk
heard,
about it in
yeah,
Hiding Hip Hop in my book,
Yeah.
The casting couch really does exist. I've seen lots of people have to do certain things to advance their careers. And I think anybody, again, like I say, coming into the entertainment industry, a lot of people are very naive, you know. they're very impressed. I think they come to Hollywood and they think, you know, oh, the flashing lights, it's beautiful. My name will be in lights to be on the big screen, have people screaming, you know, walking the red carpet. You know, it's very alluring. And there are producers and directors who will proposition you and say, well, what are you willing to do to get the part? And if you look at any, like, you know, tabloid television show, I mean, look at it. Look at every celebrity who's always tied all of a sudden to one celebrity, or they're tied to some producer or some director. Then after the movie is over, they're no longer tied to them. They're tied to the next producer, director. Like, the relationships go from one person to the next.
Right.
So if you follow the trends, if you follow the celebrity, you'll see, okay, I see what they're doing. You know, obviously they had to do what they had to do to get the part.
Right. Because I've heard that Will Smith had to visit the casting couch, and that's how he blew up.
So. Well, trust me, there's no person in Hollywood who has not been propositioned by the casting couch.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Okay, we will go to, let's see, 216, area code 216. Area code 216. I hear you. Okay. Let's go to area code 313-371. Area code 313-371. Are you there? Do you have a question or comment? Okay. Let's go to area code 313-259. 313-259.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, good evening to everybody. What
good evening.
I'd like to ask, I want to know, what is the difference between gay, when they call the men gay, and the women lesbians? Why aren't they all called gay? And what does the term gay mean? I mean, I look at it from, like, funny, having fun, that kind of thing. And why did they choose the word gay and put it for what it's called for? interesting to me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, the term gay, I mean, when you're using the term as it relates to the LGBT community, and that stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, it encompasses everyone who sleeps, you know, people who have same-sex relationships with the same sex. So lesbian is just a term that they use for women, but it's still... You can still use gay to describe a woman. However, when you talk about gay for a lot of African American men, a lot of them don't identify as gay because they say, well, the social construct behind it is a white Afrocentric, a white centric terminology, European word. So they don't identify with gay because they say, well, I'm not gay because I'm not associated with the white gay community. Thus, they've coined a new term. What they call it, men who have sex with men, or same gender loving. So it's no, which is SGL. It's all these terminologies. I know exactly. So, but what happened, which is interesting, is that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, when they started doing HIV testing and, you know, going and talking with a lot of down low men, they found out what happened was that the reason why a lot of down low men, when they would fill out the applications to come in and do questionnaires and surveys, they would never check the box that said gay. So the CDC had to coin the new term, saying men who have sex with men, MSM, because again, down low men in their head don't think that they're gay. So they say, well, I'm a man who has sex with men, but it's very casual sex with men. You understand what I'm saying now?
No, you know what? I would tell you something, how I really feel about it. It is absolutely a world of confusion and denial.
Exactly.
Where people want to pretend that they are not, and they're going, well, I'll put it this way, it's what society has dictated, and I don't always agree with society, but the excuses and how people want to make you believe that what I'm doing is correct.
Right.
And it comes from, I guess, both sides, and I can look at that in the term of racism, too. And it's like you're saying, with all this different terminology, to me it's like you're in a fantasy world, And that's what it is. I'm going to create my own world.
Exactly.
Because I don't see any difference between if you're going with the same sex, whether you're male or female, like, you know, you're a lesbian, you're a woman, and gay, you're a man. I don't understand that, you know, and all of this terminology. But it's interesting talking to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Okay. You're welcome.
And thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let me go to the next caller here. Area code 301. Are you there? Area code 301. Area code 301. Okay. Now, someone in the chat room is saying, when will Trey Songz and Drake come out of the closet? I mean.
I don't think those men are gay.
Okay.
I think those are rumors that people are listening to.
And see, that's something else, too, because you don't know what to believe. You know, I guess you have to be in the industry to really know what is going on.
Right.
And also I heard that in college, when you join a lot of these fraternities and things along those lines, that you have, I mean, you don't have to, but a lot of them, you have to or do some kind of gay activity or something like that.
Well, I'm a member of a fraternity. I don't remember participating in any type of gay activity.
Okay.
unless that's something new, but when I was pledging, no, we didn't have, that didn't occur.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, in your book, Straight from Your Gay Best Friend, what is some of the pointers that you give, just give us a couple that you give females to look for?
Well, I talk to women.
And what about the males? You know, you got women's too. It's not just men. You have women's too that's gay or but they go in both ways. So how can a male or female tell?
Well, it's very difficult to tell. I mean, you know, unless you actually catch them in the act, you know, there's no way to tell because they're so good at deceiving people. That's why it's called the down low. And that's what they're involved in, is the deception. Because they don't want you to know. They don't want their partners to find out. But, you know, I would say, you know, for some women, I tell them, I say, you know, if you're in a relationship with a man, and I have an advice column with the website.
What's your,
hellobeautiful.com. And I get, I have hundreds of letters. And one of the common themes a lot of times are, you know, generally women want advice about relationships. You know, I've slept with this man, he's not returning the call, or I'm in this relationship, I don't know where it's going, he won't identify it, whatever. But a lot of women are in relationships with men, and I guess it's this new thing that men are interested in having anal sex, but they want the woman to perform anal on them. And they want women to use the toys on them when they perform anal.
They're not gay.
Well, women are asking me, is that a sign that he may be gay? And I say, well, you know, for one, that, you know, that the prostate gland in that area is an erogenous zone for men. And I think a lot of people don't know that. It is very erogenous. Men get very excited if you know properly what you're doing. However, if he's asking you to use toys or, you know, I would say dildos, and I don't think he woke up one day and decided, you know, this is something I want to do. It's obviously something he's been participating in, and I think it will lead to a behavior, either he has been doing it or it will lead to behavior where he may want to have the actual real experience.
And see, that's a prime example of what I just said earlier, that a lot of these women are naive, you know. I mean, come on now. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
Well, yeah, but a lot of women don't know because they feel like a man, you know. And you know, essentially, because like I said, you know, my book is all about empowering women, helping women to know and find and trust their instincts and know who they are, you know, own their self power and self esteem. But women today, you know, instead of having no man, they'd rather have a piece of a man. And that's why they, you know, all these sharing and, you know, he's cheating and the women don't mind or they care, or, you know, they women who sleep with married men and have boyfriends. It's just a mess out there. Like, women are really struggling because they're like, oh, my God, you know, it's really hard because, one, you can't find a man. And then when you do, you have to worry, does he have a job? Is he on probation or parole? You know, does he have a college education? Is he on drugs? Is he in and out of prison? Is he on the down low? You got all these things women have to concern themselves with. So it's like, you know what? If he treats me right and I'm getting something out of some benefit and something out of it, then they'll accept the behavior. It's like you said, they overlook them and they become, and I don't think they're naive. Like I said, they're in denial because they're like, I'm going to overlook it.
Okay. And what about the females that have good positions, you know, they independent? Do some of them have to go to become gay because they can't find the right kind of man, and so do they turn and look at a woman?
No, I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, you can't turn gay, you know. I think that's a misconception, too. People think, like, you know, oh, gay men are going to make men gay. And I'm like, well, you can't make a man gay. If he was already participating in behaviors like that, he was already gay, just like a woman. If she was already – you can't make a woman gay. If she was already doing something like that, you know, she was trying to cover it up or try to hide it. And now she's like, okay, she's come, you know, full circle and, you know, and defining and learning out who she is. Yeah.
Okay. And what about in the church? It seems like a lot of the ministers that they were on the down low and doing things behind closed doors, and it's coming out in the open now.
Yeah.
That seems to be another area where a lot of the gays are going towards the entertainment. It seems like a lot of them are also going towards the ministry, the church.
Well, because, again, like I said earlier, I think the black church is the catalyst of which prevents a lot of people from coming out. I mean, you got to think about it. You're in conflict constantly because the minister tells you you're going to die and go to hell. So where do most black men or black people go for their salvation, for their redemption? Is the black church. What is the black bone of the black community? The black church. You know, you listen to your grandparents. You know, I'm growing up in the black community, and my grandparents and my aunts, they always say, well, you know, go to Jesus. He can solve any problem. Everything, the result of every solution is go to church, go to prayer, go, you know, the black church. So men and women who are struggling with their sexuality, that's where they go. They go to the church because that's all they know. Like, I'm dealing with this, and don't want to struggle, so I'll find some type of redemption, some type of salvation in the word, in the church. But then the church thus demonizes you and make you wrong and tell you that you want to die and go to hell. So you're in constant conflict because here you are saying, I'm going here to get salvation, but the salvation I'm seeking is telling me I'm going to be in damnation. So then a lot of them get into, you know, become into theologians and the ministers and the preachers because they're struggling. I mean, think about it. And I always tell, you know, it's interesting because I always go, whenever I go to a church, you know, and I'm listening to a sermon and a minister's preaching emphatically about something, I always say to my friends and people, I'm like, whatever he's preaching emphatically about is a struggle that he's dealing with. It's such an issue, internal issue that he's dealing with. If you listen to his message, listen to the sermon, that's what he's dealing with. So, i.e., in the case of Bishop Eddie Long, the one who was emphatically preaching against homosexuality and all these other things, and look what happened. All these young men came out with these allegations that he's having sexual relationships with them. And now people are shocked. I'm like, why are you shocked? Like, he told you who he was. He was preaching emphatically against it.
Okay. Now, what is it when you have, I've had some females say, well, he's not gay, he just have gay tendencies. I mean, what is
that? Yeah. Well, those are, you know, men who, I think it's like the new metrosexual, the man who may, you know, love getting manicures and pedicures. He's involved, you know, he's into being well-groomed and taking care of himself, you know. I think he may not be a big sports advocate, you know, and a big sports fan, and he finds other interests in other things. He may be very well cultured in the theater and the arts and, you know, some of the other things. And I think, you know, those, when we hear those men who are into those types of things, we automatically assume, well, no heterosexual men will be that actively involved in the arts or the theater or be taking interest in those types of things. No heterosexual man will be going to get manicures and pedicures. I'm like, well, what's more of a well-grooming? Like, so that's where that term came from, where people start saying, oh, he's not gay, he just has gay tendencies.
And, you know, I'm noticing, too, that it seems like it's becoming more and more accepted. I guess that's why people are coming out the closet now. But it's like it's being marketed to the children. It's all on TV. Years ago, you didn't see two men kissing and you know, on programs. They even have cartoons like SpongeBob. You know, if you kind of pay attention and listen, it has those tendencies there. So is it because that the people that is running these industries are gay and they're trying to get their message out more to the public?
I don't think there's this big marketing, you know, coming together of, hey, this is what we're going to do to taint and influence people. I think what happened is because we're coming in a more gentrified culture, as the caller was saying, the people, I think more and more people are coming out. I think more people are self-identifying who they are with their sexual identity. I think it's important that kids do know. I mean, think about the bullying that's been going on, and kids killing themselves, and kids who are bullied, you know, because of their sexual identity, or you know, thus, and that's the whole thing. Kids at that age, I'm thinking like in the sixth and seventh grade, you don't even know what gay is. You hear the term, and you think you know what gay is, but you don't even have any idea, or clue what gay really is, or what someone who may be struggling or may not even identify as gay yet. Because some kids, you know, probably haven't even identified as their sexual identity at that early of age. So, and, you know, I think it's all about education. You know, we really need to be educated as a community, as a culture, as a world, on various things, just like we're educated on, you know, different cultures and different, you know, religions and different ethnicities and things of that nature. You know, sexual identity is one of those things now we really have to start educating young people because, again, we have teachers who are gay, who are openly gay, doctors, you know, policemen, firemen, everywhere in the world, and kids start asking questions. And it's best to, you know, I think every parent should start educating their children instead of, you know, now we're, you know, acting as if it doesn't exist. And being in the world, and especially like now, where you're going to have to go out in the world and commingle and be a part of people's lives. And, you know, I mean, think about it. We live in a very melting pot. Detroit is one of those examples. You know, there's the Hispanic community, there's the Arab community, you know, there's the Jewish community. There's all these communities that exist. And Detroit is a heavily minority Black African-American city, but outside and on the outskirts, and people who interact in Detroit come from various backgrounds. So kids have to adapt very early on to many different cultures.
Well, I've seen a difference in the schooling. When I came along, we didn't see, you know, it might have been one person that you saw that was a little different. But now in the schools, you know, you got these girls that are gay. A lot of the schools here are dealing with the girls with their gay gangs and their
Your Mumford is one of them. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking of, you know. And so that we didn't have to deal with that when I was coming along. So I'm seeing things that's really changing.
Yes. Changing and changing quickly and dramatically. And I think that's why it's important for parents to get involved with their children's education and their lives and know what their children are doing, who they're doing it with, where they're going. I mean, you know, think about when we were growing up. You know, we couldn't leave out the house without telling our parents where we were going. We had to be at home when the streetlights came on, you know. So the time, you know, we didn't have the internet as well. You know, kids today, they have access to so much information and so they're seen and exposed to so much more than we were when we were growing up.
And like,
you know,
person, like a person in the chat room is saying that now in school they have books entitled My Two Dads. So the school is even, you know, going in that direction.
Yeah.
They're not reading books like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see they looking at TV, and like today, Elton John was on there, him and his mate, with their new baby, you know.
Right, yeah.
These are things we didn't see, so there's definitely seem like a shift is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence Dean, can you tell the people, give them your website, where they can get your book, and you have a new book that's coming out too?
Yes, my website is www.MrTerrenceDean.com, and that's MR for Mr. MR Terrence Dean, MrTerrenceDean.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook. You know, you just Google my name. Put my name in Facebook, Terrence Dean. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Terrence Dean. And my books are available in all bookstores. You know, you can go to Dearborn. There's a, I think it's the Borders or Barnes & Noble in Dearborn. In Detroit, they're everywhere. You know, Barnes and Noble, Borders,
Amazon,
Amazon.com. You can order the book. I have a column, as I mentioned earlier, an advice column with HelloBeautiful.com. And yes, I do have a new book that's coming out in June, and it's a fiction, my first full-length fiction book, and it's called Mogul, and it's about an entertainment executive who is grappling with his sexuality and may have to make a decision on whether or not he's going to come out publicly.
And that seems to be what I'm noticing a lot that's going on. But like the other caller was saying, one minute they going gay, then the next minute they in a relationship. So, I see a shift that's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Terrence Dean, it was an honor to have you on tonight.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I appreciate
Pleasure.
You.
Oh, thank you.
And thank
I really,
you so much.
Yeah.
And let me know. I'm going to be watching for your new book, so you can come and let us know about your new book.
Yes, I will, definitely. And thank you. And thank you for all your listeners and people who called in. I really appreciate everyone, especially those in the chat room as well, for the questions
okay.
and comments.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate you, and keep up the good work, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you are listening to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D., and that was Terrence Dean. You can go on Amazon.com or any of the other bookstores and pick up his book, and as he said, he has a new one that's coming out this year in June. And the record that the tune that you heard when I first came on, that was I-20. That is his new release that's coming out too. He's with Ludacris, and so you'll be able to get that when it do come out. So thank you for listening, and until next weekend, peace and much, much love.
Okay, your nigga back again. To my fans was handling straight out of Atlanta, but I'm proud to be African. Let's blow another pack again, blow another wreck again. Till I call a friend and I'll blow out another pack again. Ask her where she heading to, told her that I'm following. I say I'm Liberian, she say she's Somalian. Then we started partying, convinced her that we staying in. One time for the Nigerians, shout out to Wale and them. Watch how you approach me, dude. Reppin' for my heritage, that's what I'm supposed to do. Tell them who the real is, dude. Ask them who the ill is, dude. Murder any beat I get, black out like a villain, dude. And I'm here to soda block, send them here, I hear more right. Eat them seasons, spit them out, you just made the menu pump. That means you're a gonna black, get us and we bomb back. Wait a second, make some noise, where the fuck is Ghana at? Come on, throw them hands up, let me hear you say it loud. This one's for my Africans, let them know we black and brown. Wait until my shit blow up, let me see those fists go up. They held us down for long enough, let me see you lift us up. never check a dude. Show you what respect could do. Throw whack rappers in a bowl. Eat them like they're pepper soup. Better yet, they're foo-foo dog. That means that they super soft. I see you, your top is down. You see me, my roof is off. Yeah, I know your love and style. And I know it's been a while. Shout out to my nigga Boo. And Akon Bay from Senegal. Nigga, get it right. There's a line that you don't cross. You a weakling, listen, peeking. Now you fucking with a boss. To all of my South Africans. Shout out to Johannesburg. The World Cup ain't gonna save the world. Get aware and pass the word. I'm hoping that I'm reaching them. I ain't trying to preach to them. All the Ethiopians. Shout out to Eritreans. Shout out to Angola, dog. All of my Zairians. Bozo to the Cote d'Ivoire. Let them know I'm hearing them. Now I know they fearing it. They make it so you hate yourself. Learn about your heritage. You're what you create yourself. Come on, throw them hands up. Let me hear you say it loud. This one's for my Africans. Let them know we black and brown. Wait until my shit blows.